Thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So on Friday, May 6th, renowned investor Paul Tudor Jones appeared on CNBC, and he said, "Now is not the time to own stocks or bonds. With inflation running at its highest rate in 40 years, do you really want that kind of volatility and uncertainty? If you've been jumping from one investment idea to the next, a gold IRA with Noble Gold might be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation is exactly what we need. And with gold, you'll shield your gains from taxes. You'll keep the real value of your wealth, and you'll own a global asset, something tangible, and you can help protect your wealth against an economic crash. What's not to like? And this month, for every IRA opened above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin, completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 to find out more, or visit noblegoldinvestments.com.
If they had gotten control of the Fed, dude, do you have any idea where we wouldn't be having this conversation? Do you really think any of us would be having this conversation that they got in the Fed? They have fought tooth and nail to keep the Fed from raising interest rates. That's what Build Back Better was, Sean. It was $6.5 trillion worth of blackmail. The Fed understands that they raise interest rates here, they break Europe.
Hey guys, Sean from SGT Report here. This is part two of my interview with Tom Luongo and Chris Marcus, and I should have just posted the whole thing as one video because in part two, Tom is absolutely on fire. Don't miss this one, guys. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know that 100,000 Cubans are using Bitcoin in response to US sanctions? And cryptocurrencies as a whole are growing faster than the adoption of the internet? You can earn hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in crypto. And did you know that if you do it right, you don't have to pay cap gains tax on it? Open a Roth crypto IRA with My Digital Money now to take advantage of it. You will pay based on your contribution and nothing on your capital gains. If Ethereum or Chainlink doubles or Bitcoin surges to a new high, you could easily be doubling your investments. My Digital Money's US-based phone support is always ready to answer your questions. And you know what's better? They will give you a free $50 in credit if you fund your My Digital Money crypto IRA account with at least $1,000. And when you're ready for retirement, no capital gains tax. Go to mydigitalmoney.com now. mydigitalmoney.com.
And also expect a Russian ruble forward curve that isn't a joke, because people need rubles now in order to pay for oil and gas.
Yeah,
whether they like it or not.
Isn't that amazing that the bumbling Biden tried to destroy Russia and the ruble just bounced right back? It's stronger than ever now. And I think that you would argue, Tom, that Putin is not in the pocket of the World Economic Forum. So let's talk about that. What you were basically saying as it relates to Jamie Dimon and the Davos folks that literally want to enslave humanity, and Klaus Schwab is quite literally saying these same things, as is Yuval Noah Harari. Basically, you're saying my enemy's enemy is my friend as it relates to Dimon and self-preservation,
sure.
Right?
I don't even like the phrase "the enemy of my enemy is my friend." I think that everybody has their own enlightened self-interest. The universe runs on a mixture, on the interplay between matter, energy, and enlightened self-interest. And you just have to be willing to constantly remap where everybody's enlightened self-interest is, and then where they're going to put their energy and where they're going to put their
okay.
capital, right?
Okay.
Just understand that I don't pass judgment on any of these people when I'm doing an analytic work.
Well, I think that's God's job.
Me personally, I think they're all scumbags, but
yeah.
That has to go away. I'm doing the analytic work. I'm trying to put myself in their head and then trying to figure out what they want.
But where I think we agree as it relates to Trump and Putin and maybe the powers that ought not be in this country that control these big banks like Jamie Dimon, is that, and I've been saying this as it relates to Elon Musk trying to take over Twitter, there are factions within the world power structure which are now clearly at war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the good news.
Absolutely.
If that weren't the case, they would usher in their one world government tomorrow.
Oh, no. If they had gotten control of the Fed, dude, do you have any idea where we wouldn't be having this conversation? Do you really think any of us would be having this conversation that they got in the Fed? Do you? Is that air you think you're breathing? You think they deplatformed you now? Wait till you wind up in a you get remanded to Guantanamo.
But because, help me understand. I really want to understand this.
I'm really digging this conversation. Powell is literally trying to kill the ECB. Look, who is screwed here? There are four poles in the world. There's Russia, there's China, there's really Central Asia, there's China, there's the United States, and there's Europe. Right? Economically speaking, which one is the sick man at the table? Is it China? No. Is it the United States? No. We still have the reserve currency of the world. China produces the most stuff. No. Who has the worst central bank, the worst currency, the worst political system, and the worst growth prospects and demographics? Europe. Period. And they're completely controlled by the very people we just talked about.
Okay. So this is the part I want to understand. Just help me understand.
So this is going to take a couple minutes. And I apologize for hogging the mic, Chris.
No, I just want you to help me understand how Powell is not beholden to these same Davos people. I don't understand. Why
would he be? Well, it's very clear because he's not doing it. Here's the gig. What is the bane of the ECB? What have they done to destroy themselves? What stopped the euro from replacing the dollar as the world's reserve currency? Martin Armstrong talks about this all the time. They went to negative interest rates. They turned the euro into the ultimate carry trade, meaning ultimately that they can't allow rates to rise. Certainly not at the same rate that the United States or other, China or anybody else can allow rates to rise. The United States can raise rates far more than the European Union can. All we have to do is stop spending money we don't have, and we can pay for the debt service. Luke Roman and I argue about this a little bit in the open, saying, well, for every 1% the Fed goes up, we got to pay another extra $300 billion in loan servicing costs. That's fine. Cut the fucking Pentagon by $150 billion and let's reform Social Security by $150 billion. And hey, let's stop sending $50 billion a month to Ukraine. Maybe we can afford to allow interest rates to rise to 1 or 2%. Look at what's happening in Europe. You know where what's happening in the stock markets today is a lack of liquidity. There's three or four great articles on the front page of Zero Hedge today talking about the fact that liquidity is at a low that we haven't seen since 2008. So this is why markets are so jittery. It's why the slightest thing can send the algos into a four, on the Dow into a 400 or 500 point spasm. The Fed controls the flow of dollars around the world, but previously they never really did because the euro dollar markets always were able to control that market. But if the Fed now today no longer has the same, is not operating under the same functions as previously because we have our own index rate for debt, SOFR, not LIBOR, which is run by 17 European banks and JP Morgan. One out of 18 banks sets the interest rates, the actual honest-to-God interbank interest rates for the United States and all the debt. So that if Intesa Sao Paulo or UniCredit or BBVA or ING or any of the other, or Deutsche Bank gets into trouble, guess what? LIBOR has to blow out and then that sends your variable rate mortgage up, even though your bank is flush with cash. And the Fed has no control over their monetary policy. They have to be the central bank of the world. Powell is absolutely not acting like he's the central banker of the world. He's saying, we can have multiple reserve currencies. I'm raising interest rates. I have to do all of these things. I have to do this. And they have fought tooth and nail to keep the Fed from raising interest rates. That's what Build Back Better was, Sean. It was $6.5 trillion worth of blackmail of QE that the Fed would have to monetize because no one else wanted the debt. The Democrats were literally trying to burn the country to the ground. And how does Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema stand up to Davos and all the arm twisting and everything else if not very powerful people were standing behind them going, oh yeah, don't worry about it. Your kids aren't going to get killed. No, don't worry about it. You have Secret Service protection. You stand up there and you do that.
No, that's very
serious.
That
doesn't happen if they don't have that backing. And who has that kind of power? Jamie Dimon has that kind of power. Morgan Stanley has that kind of power. BofA has that kind of power. That's who is behind these people. You have to read the nuance. Because Manchin and Sinema didn't show up to Congress one day with a big gash over their right eye, like Mitch McConnell, John Roberts, Harry Reid, and everybody else who tried to stand up against this stuff, and they all got thrown down the stairs. They never showed up. Manchin never showed up with a shiner.
That's so interesting.
That's the way this is working. That's the way this works.
I just want to say, Chris, jump in, man, if you want, but I have to say, that's really powerful analysis. Manchin and Sinema prevented them, the Democrat Party, from burning down this country.
Yes.
Which is exactly what Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum want.
Yes.
That's really powerful stuff. No,
and nowhere, and no one noticed that Powell raised interest rates, raised the reverse repo rate by 5 basis points the same day that Biden was suing for peace with Putin over in Geneva, June 16th. And the euro dropped 3 cents. When's the last time you heard the euro drop 3 cents in an hour and a half?
Can I ask
and
you guys
stick?
Something? Is Biden actually the president?
No. Obama's running the ship along with all of his friggin' commies, those shitbag commies. They all work for Davos. Gensler is Davos. Yellen is Davos. She always has been. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody in Biden's cabinet is Davos. The ones who aren't Davos are card-carrying neocons who were put in place to architect the foreign policy to create the war with Russia. The Russians knew 2 years ago that they were going to be fighting a war in Ukraine. Putin just said this yesterday at the Victory Over Europe parade when he said, look, we had to. It was a preemptive move on our part. We knew this was coming. They were not only coming for the Donbass, they were coming for Crimea. Like, we had to do this, right or wrong.
The reason I asked that about Biden is because we know he is in the pocket of the World Economic Forum. There's video of him sitting in the front row,
of course,
looking at Klaus Schwab say all these incredibly insane things about the future of humanity. And he's sitting there, I think, with Leonardo DiCaprio, too, by the way, guys. Oh, yeah. And my question is legitimate about, is he actually president? Because presidents supposedly get to pick the head of the Fed. So why is Powell in there and why hasn't he been sworn in?
Because they tried. Okay. So Powell was supposed to be reaffirmed in October. Notice that around September is when the insider trading scandal hit the Fed, right? Daniel DiMartino Booth let the cat out of the bag on this one, because she did a couple of interviews which confirmed my ideas about what was going on when she said, never has the Fed been under this kind of political pressure. Yeah. Then I had Dave Collum on my podcast, and Dave relayed to me that he was at dinner with Daniel DiMartino Booth and a couple other people when she got the call from somebody at the Fed saying, oh, by the way, the insider trading scandal is about to be hit. Powell and the Fed are under attack. He did not tell me who that person was. You can listen to my podcast, the last one I did with Dave Collum about this. It's hilarious, by the way, because Dave is a hoot. Okay, so that confirmed everything that she already knew. So she can't say what actually happened, but she knows, and it was probably Richard Fisher or one of her friends she used to work with over at the Fed who told her what was going on. But the insider trading scandal was meant to get rid of Powell, to block his reappointment. They didn't get him. Then Build Back Better failed. Pelosi had to fold on the idiotic ploy of tying all three votes together, the infrastructure bill, Build Back Better, and the debt ceiling. Remember, she tied all three of those together?
Yeah.
And everybody said, well, why are you doing that? You have the power to pass any one of those whenever you want. Oh, because she needed to get the Republicans to help her force the Republicans to do it for her. Okay. Because what she was trying to do was get all of it, because she knew she couldn't get them all passed. Okay, so she was trying to force the whole thing to be passed and then tie Powell's hands with a whole lot of blackmail. And Manchin comes out and says, well, I'm going to wait for the CBO report before I sign off on this. Meanwhile, the CBO report comes out and says, yeah, this thing is not revenue neutral. It's going to cost $6.5 trillion. And most of that $6.5 trillion has to be spent in the first 3 years. And we already know that there's no foreign appetite for our debt. So that was going to be another $6.5 trillion that the Fed was going to have to monetize. Yeah. You want my honest theory as to what I think has been going on since Powell took over? They had to accelerate their plans to get rid of Trump and get rid of Powell by unleashing COVID on us to force everybody into spending, into printing $20 trillion. And that was the last time they were going to get the Fed to print any money, as long as Powell was Fed chair. So Biden finally saying, okay, Powell can be chair, was him admitting political defeat. And then what happened after that? They said, well, okay, you can be Fed chair. But notice that they keep a point. They keep having to go all the three. They got rid of Kaplan, Rosengren, and Carita, right? To have to replace all of them before they can confirm Powell. So they keep putting up these like open commies to be members of the Federal Reserve, which, you know, are just stopgap measures. They're just delay tactics. What they're hoping for is that they can keep Powell on the hook until maybe after the midterms. And if they can steal the midterms, then they'll be able to break this political wall that they have. Because what happened in February when his term ran out, it was that the FOMC themselves voted him chairman pro tem until further confirmations. He still hasn't been confirmed, guys. So Davos is still playing this game that they think they can try and get rid of Powell. Again, that all tells you what the scenario is. The Fed understands that they raise interest rates here, they break Europe. Okay. German debt is like, just watch the German debt, because that's the bellwether. But they know that they can break Lagarde and the ECB and force her to start raising the benchmark rate before the end of the year, which she does not want to do. Okay. And you've got Powell on the one side, you got Putin on the other, demanding all oil and gas payments in rubles, which they're going to have to pay for through depreciating euros, which are getting killed. Okay. And then Putin's going to turn right around and then launder those euros and those dollars that Gazprom Bank is getting in, is going to help pay off Turkey's external foreign debt. And they're going to stabilize the Turks and pull them out of NATO. Like, this is right, what's happening right in front of you right now. Like, it's all happening. You got the ECB is caught in the middle between the Fed on the left arm and the Russians on the right arm, and they're going pull. And then within 6 months, the ECB is going to be in a shambles, and the euro will be trading at 90 cents.
Wow.
It's
all right.
Clear as day to me. I don't know about anybody else.
I want to apologize to Chris. Chris, I've never had Tom before, but this is fun for me because I've never had Tom on before. So you've been so patient, which really speaks to your control of your ego. I want to thank you so much for just sitting and listening to this, because I'm eating this stuff up. I love this because I know that I don't have all of the answers to all of these questions. I got a heck of a lot of questions. So I really appreciate this analysis. Do you have any comments on anything you've heard, Chris?
Yeah, I think a lot of what Tom is saying, and pretty much most of it, is spot on. And I guess the takeaway is that it's a tragedy, a travesty for the people that sometimes, especially since I've been here in Mexico, I've been thinking about it a lot, like how much of human productivity is just wasted for these idiots, is stolen. And then, you know, it's unfortunate that a guy like Tom or me, and Tom's got his bass back there. I'm a musician. It's like we could be creating, you know, great art, great things in life, great technology in all these fields if it weren't all this nonsense that goes on, which, you know, hey, you come to planet Earth and life is what it is. So I think it's important. And Sean, that's why I said before how important I think it is what you're doing, because most of the world is looking, you know, the election's coming up. We got Biden, whoever the next clown they send on the other side is, and thinking that these people are trying to help, which, you know, I get it. It's like, wow, it's a tough one for people to accept. Have been voting for decades and decades and realize, wait a second, is this really just organized crime? Is what these guys are sitting here saying? Are these markets really, this is how it's decided? Could that really be? And I understand it's just sad, but, you know, unfortunately, that is the world we live in. And that's why, I don't know, there's some people who have, when I said I had questions about this Biden version of the Russia-Ukraine thing, and, you know, they're saying, oh, you're a Russian supporter. No, I'm a supporter of someone who just thinks that there's a better way of living. And Sean, I think you captured it. There's a lot of us, especially in the gold and silver community, who just want something resembling an honest way of life that, you know, if Putin does put things on a gold standard and that brings gold and hopefully silver to some degree along with that, I think that's a good thing. Now, whether we ever go back to gold and silver as money, I've never claimed to say that. I can't. How could I say I know that for sure? Do I think we'd have a much better, fairer world for the regular people who are trying to go out there and actually live the ideals that these politicians put their hand on a Bible, swear an oath to, and campaign and say they're going to support? I think it'd be a much better place. I don't think that the guys running the show in the U.S. have any intention of doing that soon. And I'm not sure I'm not sure Putin's the greatest guy behind closed doors. But to the degree that if someone is adding any level of integrity to the financial system, I think that's certainly a good thing. I walk around here in Mexico. I see there's a lot of places you still need to wear a mask to go in. So it's like a lot of people up in the U.S., they're reading the number of people that died during the Pfizer trials and, you know, and kind of tuning out Fauci. Yet I'm seeing the rest of the world. Everyone looks back to the U.S. When I lived in Europe, they were looking back. I would get into arguments there. I'm like, hey, this Fed's a Ponzi scheme. And they're like, oh, no, what are you talking about? These guys, they have it under control to, you know, raise, lower interest rates, calibrate it. Yeah. It's a shame, but I guess that's like many areas in life. You know, there've been times where I like eating too much sugar for a couple of weeks and I can say like, oh, well, you know, I'm just great. You know, but it's like, you know, there's gravity, there's biology, there's science. And, you know, at least I find that some of these things can be very hard to accept and acknowledge, but at least once you're willing to do that and say, all right, here's where we are, it might not be ideal, but I think that's really the first step of what people are looking for when they say freedom. Are we ever going to have like a world where everyone's rights are respected? Probably not. There's always going to be some knucklehead out there or a cartel here or there. But I think the more that you can begin to get the gist of what's going on, obviously very few people probably know the level of detail that Tom does, but if you can just get the idea and then start making decisions in your own life, I think there are ways to get away from that or protect yourself or protect your family. And that's, you know, what I try to focus on as much as possible. I think it's sad, but, you know, there's some point where, all right, here's what is. At least that gives me the ability to plan, which is something that I think would be helpful for people to take away from this.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Friends, now is the time to prepare, as inflation is upon us. And a gold IRA with Noble Gold might just be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation. And with gold, you'll own a global asset, something tangible at a time where collapse appears to be right around the corner. And this month, for every IRA above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Well, let me make a comment on something you just said, and we'll do a screen share. You're blessed to still have your Twitter account. I miss mine quite a bit. And the name of it, Arcadia, at Arcadia Economic, but Arcadia Chris, silver, love of life, gratitude, and AG, which is silver. I want to do a screen share and let's talk about solutions in the next 10 minutes as we wrap this up. I don't know if that's enough time to talk about solutions. But one thing I want to say is that these lockdowns, the push with the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, et cetera, have really shined the light of truth on these people, which is that they're malevolent. Mm-hmm. At the very tippy top of the pyramid, the Davos group, these people, the World Economic Forum, they're malevolent. And I've often said, Chris, kind of mirroring what you were trying to say there, is that if we had benevolent dictators, because we do have dictators on this planet, I hate to tell you, but if they were benevolent and they loved humanity, this planet could be in Eden. But they're malevolent and they literally hate God, in my view, and they hate humanity. So therefore, their agenda is anti-human. So let's talk about solutions. When we see rule by fiat, okay, we have a puppet president. When we see this rule by fiat and the World Health Organization attempting a power grab here, May 22nd through the 28th, we know this is all illegitimate. Tom, What are the solutions to the illegitimacy of these malevolent dictators? Is it states' rights? Is it DeSantis? Is it we the people just saying hell no, like Chris Sky is saying in Canada? What is the solution to what ails us here?
All the above. And I mean, seriously, I think, remember, like one of the things as Chris was kind of talking around just now, was it's the forces of decentralization that are ultimately will beat these people. Because I say this all the time, the truth is, lies are expensive and the truth sells itself, right? The Biden administration, literally, when I'm watching them right now, every move that they're making, it's very clear that they know they're going to be completely neutered after the November elections. And they are attempting to leave behind as many poison pills as possible for the incoming Congress have to deal with, to keep them bound down with that in the run-up to the 2024 election. It's very clear. It doesn't matter if it's this Roe v. Wade leak and the summer of violence that I expect to come because of that, the insane amount of spending on the war in Ukraine, things like this WHO thing. Oh yeah, we sent over a draft thing over to the WHO, ceding our sovereignty, that, you know, the president can just, you know, can just send a letter to the WHO and say, yeah, we Americans all gave away our sovereignty to the WHO. No, absolutely not. But that's the push that's coming. Okay. They can do that in the European Union because it's the EUSSR and the European Commission can just, you know, rule by diktat, but Joe Biden can't rule by diktat. Okay. But they'll try as much as possible. We just have to, like, you know, look at them and go, no, no, and no. And you'll notice that slowly but surely, their intimidation of the court system, which was at its height during the election fraud of 2020, is turning the other side, turning the other way. Even Obama-appointed judges couldn't throw Marjorie Taylor Greene off the ballot, for example. Okay. Like, we're starting to see a turn here. They obviously are trying to turn this into into rule by men, not rule by law, or Sam Francis is an anarcho-tyranny, rules for thee, but not for me, them. And we'd have to realize that just because they said something doesn't mean it's legitimate. Doesn't mean it has any legitimacy. It factors into our lives in any way, manner, shape, or form. You can see it all across the Bitcoin space. They're like working overtime to change the rules on Bitcoin to scare the markets, scare people out of their positions, to scare people out of their money. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them on silver. Don't listen to them on gold. Don't listen to them on Bitcoin. Don't listen to any of this stuff. Don't take the jab. If they threaten your job, it's illegal. Sue them. I mean, it's that simple. We're even starting to see pushback from within the corporate boardrooms because DeSantis took Disney down.
Yeah, that was amazing.
With no trouble whatsoever, right? And it wasn't really DeSantis, because for those of you who don't live in Florida, you don't know that the Florida legislature has all the power, okay? And DeSantis has a supermajority in the House and the Senate. So the Florida Good Old Boys Network said, you know what? No.
That's so powerful. Right. I just want to say to people, I mean, it was like Disney was sort of like the city of London or the Vatican, you know, a government unto itself for all years, probably with all associated tax breaks. I have no idea. But
they could traffic
children, do whatever the heck they wanted there. Yep. And they had their own police force, the whole thing. So what DeSantis did is really powerful.
Yeah, I've known this. I've lived in Florida since I graduated high school and moved here to go to school. So since I had hair and it was black. And I can tell you that I've always known that, you know, you don't step out of line when you're at Disney, because the Disney Nazis will take you to their jail underneath, you know, Kissimmee, and you might not see the, you know, light of day anytime soon. So like it's now gone, but this is a taste of what it looks like when you have a state GOP that is unafraid.
Yeah. I just love it. I love it. It gives me
so much hope.
Blue check
mark Twitterati and Tumblr arenas who think they run the world.
It gives me so much hope, because all the enemies have, the left, the leftists, the TikTok libtards, Antifa, BLM, all they have on their side is lies
and rage
and force. They want to implement their Marxism and communism by force. And we, the people, are still sovereign. We need to remember that. Okay, sort of a final question. You can both weigh in on this as it pertains to, let's take Florida as a case study. A legislature and a governor that actually seem to care about liberty and sovereignty. If you are concerned as a governor about the future of the dollar and the future of all fiat currencies, would it be smart to start moving toward some sort of state currency backed by gold, silver, and maybe Bitcoin? And by the way, Tom, I was a little surprised. I don't know you. We've never spoken, but I know you're very opinionated. So I just made the guess that you might not be a Bitcoin guy. I was surprised to hear you say that Bitcoin is here and it's here to stay. So I've very been, interesting. Is so that Sean, part of been, a basket I, of solutions, gold, silver, Bitcoin?
Just so you know, Sean, I wrote the first publicly available article about Bitcoin in July of 2010.
Oh, you're kidding. I didn't know that.
No, yeah. I mine blocks on a on an old Intel CPU, on some of the original blocks on an Intel CPU.
Oh, that's
cool. I of course,
I sure wish I had known you then.
I know. Well, you and me, I wish I had held on to them. They all got stolen off of Mt. Gox. So don't feel it's not that it's not that great a story. It does this is still a $12 shirt from Walmart, by the way. You know,
well, maybe you get some Mt. Gox Bitcoin back yet. Isn't there still a settlement?
No. It was not stolen because of the Mt. Gox failure. It was literally stolen by a guy who got a keylogger, got my account password, and stole them because all the coins on Mt. Gox were being held on chain at the time.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it is what it is. I had 200 Bitcoins. So I've been living with that since 2012 or whatever, whenever it was that it happened. So it's just part of the. It's just part of the fabric of the life now. I'm a massive Bitcoin guy from a proof of work perspective. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of proof of stake, though I do think there's some hybrid proof of work, proof of stake systems that work just fine. Now, I think Florida is already moving in this direction. Florida is becoming the home of the big, we have
the Miami mayor. I know about that.
Yeah, well, no, we have, it's farther than my partner, Dexter White, likes to put it. Look, there's two things that we have a monopoly on here in Florida. It's cheesy porn guys and cheesy crypto guys. Like we have the monopoly on that. We own those guys. And soon we're going to have all of the refugees from Wall Street. They're all moving to West Palm. They're all moving to Broward and West Palm Beach. Like that's where they're moving. And the future of right-wing media is going to be in Florida, and the future of the U.S. commercial banking system is going to be in Florida. And don't let anybody kid you, that's what's coming. Elon Musk is going to move Twitter to Miami, all right? The headquarters to Miami. Hmm. Just everybody, we have all the bandwidth you'd ever ask for. We have the power generation. We have the infrastructure in DeSantis, the mayor of Miami, all of those, they all are... They're all working on this stuff together. And I have people within the, I have patrons within the Florida electricity company, Florida electricity industry, keeping their ear to the ground as to what's going on. So just.
How do we make sure that Florida stays free and libertarian?
I believe that we should implement a loyalty test for everybody that comes into the state. You have to be able to state the oath of the state of Florida, which is that you have to be able to state without irony and without crying that Lincoln was a tyrant. And if you can say that, you're allowed in. If you can't say it, get out. Go away.
I just worry that if DeSantis runs for president or runs as VP with Trump, then who fills that gap?
I wouldn't worry. The Florida GOP is stronger than it's been in a long time. The Rick Scott, Marco Rubio element is clearly not in control anymore.
Thank God. All right. Well, I just worry that they're going to pull a 10,000 mules here in 2022, but I know that some states are really working hard to prevent that.
Have you actually watched the movie yet?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And I felt bad about it.
Probably 50,000 mules is what they actually have.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, because they only counted people that hit, what was it? I forget.
It was 10 drop boxes and
10 drop boxes and an NGO. Yeah, that's right. So anybody that did 7 didn't get counted. Yeah. All right. Well, boy, this has been a long but very enjoyable conversation. And again, Chris, thanks for setting it up because I didn't even have Tom's contact information. So I appreciate you. Chris, do you want to shout out your websites, Twitter, anything else?
Yeah, you can find me at ArcadiaEconomics.com. We have a YouTube show. I had Tom on a couple of weeks ago. We had a fun talk there, and
I enjoyed it.
Really just cover what's happening with the economics and also try and keep things focused on, all right, here's what it is. I understand there's these parts of life that are frustrating, but here are things that you can actually do about it. You know, I think silver and gold are one of them, but to what you guys were just saying, where it doesn't have to be everyone doing a podcast or speaking out publicly, but just in your own way, support people who are matching what you're doing. If you're, and sometimes just being kind to other people who, you know, understand they're going through the same pressures, where there's enough of these government forces out there that are challenging to deal with, and just any small ways that people can do that. I think there is a degree to which it has all worked, because the governments, you know, there you have tons of collusion, yet they keep people feeling separate and afraid. So supporting shows like you, Sean, that get out good information and at least give people the truth of what's out there so that you can start deciding what's best and how to respond to it. I think we do have more power than we're often led to believe, and sometimes not always easy to see it that way, but either case, that's Arcadia Economics website. You can find us there. We cover a lot about silver and otherwise, and trying to find some positive solutions in life.
Well, and I should say, you sent me a copy of your book and a tube of silver, 20 silver ounces, just Aztec ones. Really cool, really generous guy, sweet guy, Chris Marcus. I got to just pay it forward by at least telling the audience, you truly are a stand-up guy. I appreciate you very much. And I hope to see you in Mexico. I might try to get down there for your Silver Fest. When is that again? The next one?
I just got over here to Playa del Carmen. This week or next week, we'll be finding a resort for Silver Fest 3. We're going to find some way to make it happen in person this year, just for a lot of the people that, you know, have been locked down since COVID and just wanting to look face to face with someone else who's seeing the same planet. Tom, maybe we'll even get you down there and people can ask Tom his questions. Sean, if you can make it there, I just think there's this great community of people that believe in integrity, whether you like silver, Bitcoin, gold, or whatever it is. But for people who are looking to connect with others, because in the end, that's probably the best way, not trying to figure everything out yourself. But hey, maybe some of these guys over here, they love doing gardening. And if you have questions about the food supply, you can. And I think that's what a real economy is, not this financial Wall Street behemoth. So, yeah, we'll be having Silver Fest 3 around Halloween weekend, and we'll have updates as we get closer on ArcadiaEconomics.com. And just thank you for having me on your show again, Sean and Tom. Similarly, it's nice to be with you again as well.
Yeah, I'll do a screen share here too for Tom's site.
The nice picture of Klaus you have on there. He looks sharp.
I had Barnes on the podcast the other day. It was a lot of fun. He was just Robert Barnes is always a good talk. The the website is tomwillongo.me or goldgoatsandguns.com. You know, we have the Patreon, the podcast, all of that stuff that goes along with it. The Patreon is for those that want a monthly newsletter that's got a bespoke, you know, portfolio designed to try and tie all the stuff up into a reasonable investment strategy. I also write for Newsmax as well. But yeah, and the patrons also get 3 to 4 things a week from me, either private blog posts and twice weekly market reports where I go over, I do private podcasts for them as well, along with, you know, technical analysis of the strategic markets like gold, silver, oil, and Bitcoin and other, the Dow, yada, 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 and then other things as well. So, the Chris's point about at the end of the day, this is all about, don't forget that in times like this, the tribes get smaller, but the division of labor still has to maintain itself. You can't do it all. I live on 14 acres in North Florida in a house I built myself. I raise goats, I raise ducks. And I don't have time to do it all anymore. And, you know, at a certain point, you can't do it all. You have to have a good group of people around you. If you don't have 14 kids, you got to have a group of people around you. And that's the way we're going to survive this. Local communities that realize that that strength comes from being able to ensure that the food safety is, that the food is there, that, you know, that skills are still preserved. And, you know, I tell people all the time, like, get to know your local feed store operator, get to know your local hay vendor, you're the guy growing hay, and you get to know the guy who's growing the pigs and the cows, because, yeah, you know, that's, you're going to need to know that guy, because yeah, when the supply gets short, if you're already a recurring customer, and, you know, there you go. So monetize your hobbies, folks. Do your best. Find ways to engage in your local community as much as possible. And, you know, that's where we're going. That's how we're going to beat them. We're not going to beat them with stuff like this. This is how we find the other people, aggregate them, curate them, get them up to speed, help them along, increase each other's knowledge base is how we're going to beat them. Yeah. You beat them with networking. You beat them with distributed technology. And each of us is a node on the distributed neural network that is the hive mind that will beat these people who think that all they have to do is beat us and they'll win. Well, no, because we know where you live.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to that interview with Robert Barnes that you did. I like Robert Barnes. I've heard him quite a bit, not only on InfoWars, but mostly on Viva Fry's show. And I have to ask you, Tom, as a truth teller who has no fear commenting about pop culture or truth tellers on the web, did you ask Robert about Viva's makeover and that crazy hair?
No, I didn't. I'm hoping that they'll invite me onto their show. They keep you know, saying that they will, and then I get to actually meet Viva, because I haven't had a chance to meet Viva yet. I may have to have Viva on the podcast. I may just, you know, send a note out to Robert and then sit down and chat with Viva about whatever, because I've been watching him since before he and Barnes got together. They're both hilarious. They're both great guys.
Yeah, no, they're really interesting, and it's not a criticism of Viva as a person, but you know, when he came up with that new logo with crazy hair, and then he started appearing in his videos with crazy hair that's all blown out, I thought, what did his wife, did his kids not try to pull him back on that? What is that all about? Nobody said anything.
You know, and with, you know, right next to Mr. Button Down himself, Robert Barnes, who never shows up in public without the tie and the
cigar
and the cigar and the vest, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just great.
So no, all right,
Robert's quite the hood. We had a good chat. So
all right, well, I appreciate your time, guys. You nailed it today, Tom, when you said lies are expensive, and we all know truth out. So that's what we have on our side. We've got light and truth on our side, yep. And God, frankly, I mean, boy. Like I said, these are malevolent forces aligned against us. Our guests have been Tom Luongo and Chris Marcus. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. I appreciate you. And friends, thanks so much for tuning in. I'll remind you, for real news every single day for free, you can visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. May God bless you and your family. Bye-bye.
And it was interesting because it was a BLM agent that said it. And this is the way he said it. He said, if you resist it anyway, they will kill you. The they, which we found out later, and why they were hiding these files, was the FBI HRT team, the same team that went into Waco, the same team that did Ruby Ridge, the same team that killed Lavoie Finicum. They were coming, and when the BLM agent said they will kill you, that's who he was talking about.